Wasn't that delicious?
So good.
Your bill, ladies?
I got it.
No, I got it.
Seriously, I insist.
Oh, don't be silly.
You don't be silly.
People with the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card prefer to pay because they earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases.
Okay, rock, paper, scissors for it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot!
No! The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. Visit wellsfargo.com/activecash. Terms apply.
Cari amici sportivi, welcome yet again to a Milan Weekly Podcast, guys. A special live edition, guys. You know, we try. Presidente in the background, Master Control, always tries to get special guests. We want to bring you this great content in English. And guys, today we have a great, great guest, guys. Someone that I admire, a great channel, a great ambassador of Milan. Really love his content. Great. It's, you know, it's Italian. Today we're going to test our guest, guys. We're testing our guest. So, you know, talking in the green room in the back. It's a good casting call for him. Guys, I can't wait to get this started, guys. We have Enrico Silvestrin, guys. I've practiced his last name for about 2 hours yesterday night just so that I can do this intro. I'm so glad to bring him on, and I don't want to waste more of anybody's time, guys. You know what we do best. We're going to bring him on right after the intro, Enrico Silvestri.
Milan Weekly Podcast presents Milan Coast to Coast with your host, Gio and Fabio.
Benvenuti nella casa della Milan!
Guys, welcome. A special Milan Weekly Podcast / Coast to Coast introduction, Mr. Enrico Silvestrin. Enrico, bienvenuto a Milan Weekly Podcast, guys. Welcome, Enrico, to Milan Weekly Podcast.
Hey, Steve, thank you very much. Such an honor to be here. And what a great introduction. Thank you very much. I also added a bit of jingle, the music for that. That was amusing. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Amazing. Enrico, let's dive right into it. We're going to take you a little bit down memory lane. You know, just for the benefit of our audience, you know, it's very English speaking. We're going to post all your socials. We're going to post all your channels. But for those who don't know you, just a little bit about yourself, you know, how did you become a Milan fan?
Well, that happened when I was about, I think, 6 or 7, because, I was fascinated with AC Milan. I had an uncle who was an AC Milan supporter, and he was the one that sort of introduced me to played football. So it took me to the stadium to see Rome, Roma, because at the time then it was the easiest way to go to the stadium, and you didn't get to see much of AC Milan there in Rome. And then I discovered that my dad's cousin, he was a football player for AC Milan. So we had the album delle figurine. What would you call that? I don't know what the name is.
It's very, very Italian, but album delle figurine could translate a little bit to, you know, the Panini stickers that we have now.
The stickers. Exactly. Stickers is the name. So yeah, it was exactly the Panini stickers and album. And you know, to me, it was impressive that a relative was right there, and he wore the AC Milan jersey. So I didn't feel like you have to be a fan of a team from your own city. I didn't really care much about that. So I became an AC Milan fan. Always kept myself pretty open-minded. So not being able to see AC Milan at the stadium, I used to go see all other teams. So I went to see Roma for many years. I went to see Lazio for many years. You know, I just I love football. So, and I loved that football era. So that, you know, it stick with me, and I loved it. And then I you know, and AC Milan was kind of a religion for me. I enjoyed I lived the all the Sacchi triumphs, and you know, that was a big deal. You know, I used to wake up at night to see the Intercontinentale, and you know, all that.
Yes, because
stuff
Intercontinentale was always in Tokyo for some reason. So.
Yes, it was there, and with weird whistles. You remember the whistles?
Yes. I remember the whistles. I remember. So you know what? We aged you without even aging you. So it's similar in age, right? So for, you know, just to give you a bit of me, for me it was the same thing, except you were waking up at night, I was waking up in the morning, and we have the, you know, and through this. And again, also similar because...
Wasn't that delicious?
So good.
Your bill, ladies?
I got it. No, I got it.
Seriously, I insist.
I insisted first.
Oh, don't be silly.
You don't be silly.
People with the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card prefer to pay because they earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases.
Okay, rock, paper, scissors for it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot!
The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. Visit wellsfargo.com/activecash. Terms apply.
Yes, you're in Italy, but you were not able to see Milan. And a lot of like our listeners, because they're English speaking, and I put myself as an example, I love Milan, but I can't wake up Saturday morning and go to the stadium because I'm a continent away. How did you find that in terms of, like, you know, you said it didn't bother you, and you had a good a good love for football. How did you find that tough that you couldn't watch them week in and week out, and that you had to watch Roma and you had to watch Lazio?
It didn't bother me because at the time I used to work in Milan a lot. So being able to go, I used to live in London, and then even when I moved back to Rome. And then there was a time when I lived in Milan, so I had many chances to go watch AC Milan, and I've watched so many crucial games, like the Ajax game in San Siro. I watched the 6-0 derby. I watched so many games that were crucial. They were so important. I watched the semifinals with Inter when we won in 2003. So I had many chances to go watch AC Milan. I used to go like to Perugia to watch AC Milan when Shevchenko was at his first year. It's an open space, you know. Italy's an open space. So exactly. if you want to watch something, you just take your car, grab a train and go. And so I did.
Nice, good stuff. Again, for a lot that, you know, we live in North America, and it's not the same in terms of, like, you know, for us, we understand the sports rivalry, but some people, you know, especially nowadays, people don't grasp exactly how important that rivalry is. Just for context, how was it being a Milanista in Rome? Because we know how Rome is passionate about both their clubs. The Romanista are very passionate about Roma, and the Laziali are very passionate about Lazio. How does that impact your life walking around with a Milan jersey, if you could?
Look, it's something that has to do with your age. So when I was younger, when I was a student, well, obviously students do what students think what students think. So basically it was like we used to win at the time. We used to win so much at the time. So basically that would put them to sleep anytime, you know, just give it up. You got your derby business, you got your whatever business, I got other business. And so they were very sort of envious, but at the same time they didn't get to mock me much because they couldn't. It's different now, but now I'm older, so I can take it. And honestly, I'm, like I said before, I'm very open-minded, and I think being sportivo is crucial to me. And something that I learned over the years. I didn't used to be like this. I learned this, and I basically stopped hating other teams, or kind of jinxing other people's games or finals. And it gives me more satisfaction. It makes me even happier because I can see things in a clearer way.
Yeah.
I can admire teams, which is good. I mean, it's great to admire other people's work.
Absolutely, despite
the where they belong or who they belong to. I don't care. Obviously, I like to, you know, mock people sometimes. That's part of the deal. It's funny business, but I don't like the whole conspiracy theory things, because we got so much to look at, like in our bag, and it takes quite a lot of time daily
and energy. Just
to, clear the mess that we're under. So I don't have time to think of what others do and, conspiracy theories brought up by other, like, fellow AC Milan fans. I do things my way. I don't really care about judgment. It never bothered me. So it didn't bother me when I was a kid and being an AC Milan fan in Rome. It doesn't bother me now.
Absolutely. Amazing. Amazing. And we're like brothers from another mother, because, you know, that's what we do it here at Milan Weekly Podcast. We try to be as straight down the middle as we can. And people know us and I think appreciate us for that. And, you know, when it's bad, we're going to tell you that it's bad. When it's good, trust me, you're going to see me dance and you're going to know that it's good. Going to that, and you said, you know, it takes a lot, right? So how did the YouTube channel come about? Because, like you said, it does take time. It does take energy. And this is it's a game changer, right? It's really something that takes over your life, especially at the quality that you do with your channel. So how did that come about, you know?
About a year ago. Probably exactly a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be invited to other streamers, or, you know, like podcasts or shows, videos. And there were a lot of people really supporting what I was saying. They were really, they created a connection. So I said, okay, fine. Well, I just want to do this myself. I just don't want to do this somewhere else. I think I should take this more seriously, and so I did. And I started it. It's still a hobby. It's not my profession. I'm a professional streamer, but I do music. Okay. I talk about music. That's what I do. That's my background. That's what I do. But a lot of people identified with my thoughts, with my vision, and so I decided to you know, give it a shot, and I think it worked well. I'm happy. It's a battle, man. It's a battle, because it's very hard in 2025. It's very, very hard to be understood, to just get your concepts in a clear way, so that they can be easily swallowed and digested. It's very hard. It's very difficult. So I will always speak to a minority, but at the same time, the majority listens. And to be able to be heard, I think, is what matters. So as long as they pay attention, as long as they have interest, even if they're haters, into what I have to say, I can give a perception. I can give a perspective. I can, I give you an angle. You can support it. You can understand. You can just say, no, it's rubbish. But I give you food for thought. And that's what I want to do.
Amazing. And, you know, I echo that a lot, right? So you could imagine it's a battle for you. And I imagine, you know, there's so many channels that, you know, and you do it in Italian. For English, there's not so much. And, you know, my question to you is this, you know, like, there will be haters, there will be followers. And I think you need both, because that was a great time. when you can, you know, when you can have a conversation with someone and not agree on things and have a good discussion and maybe learn something from that. Do you find that now, because of this digital age, we've lost it? It's either black or white, and there's no learning. Like for me, when I listen to your podcast, do I agree with everything? Absolutely not. And if you would listen to me, would you agree with everything that I have to say? Absolutely not. If it would be that case, Enrico, I would ask myself that same question. That might be the problem. Why are we agreeing on things all the time? How do you find that aspect of it? Because I'm always curious about that.
I'm skeptical towards all the people that say, well, I completely agree with you. Yes, but why? What do you agree about? Like, what are the key points that makes you say that you agree with me? Because it's very simple to say I agree with you. It's like sometimes it's just you. I'm not saying you're ass-kissing, but basically you just want to be supportive, but then you're afraid of what you you're intimidated by what you're about to write down in your comments, and probably feel that. So it's simpler. It's way simpler to put it down like this. Right? I fully agree with you. Okay, fine. Thank you. But normally, what I look for, what I'm searching for, is people who have an insight, people who can give more amplitude to what I said, to what I just discussed, and just make me think, make me stop and say, okay, oh, cool, that's a good angle. That's something that I didn't think of. And, you know, it's to me, it's always stimulating the brain and trying to get into more elaborate analysis, which is not easy, because most of the times we're here to analyze things that we don't know, we don't fully know. We work on...
Wasn't that delicious?
So good.
Your bill, ladies?
I got it.
No, I got it.
Seriously, I insist. I insisted first.
Oh, don't be silly.
You don't be silly.
People with the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card prefer to pay because they earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases.
Okay, rock, paper, scissors for it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot!
No! The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. Visit wellsfargo.com/activecash. Terms apply.
News, and news that can be true or fake or I don't know, debatable.
Manipulated.
So I think having a, you know, I try to have an angle on things, and I think that's the interesting part. Like the Allegri thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening is, like, we got this yo-yo of emotions, this emotional yo-yo, which is frustrating, man. And I knew 10 days ago that it was going to be another year alone, battling alone. And I don't mind, because I can predict it. It's completely expectable. I know how they think. I know how they act. I know when they get someone like Allegri, why they get someone like Allegri. I know when they get someone like Tare, what they're doing. It's an open book. To me, it's an open book. So I knew already what it was going to be like. And I knew it's an emotional yo-yo. And people are gonna support AC Milan no matter what. I don't do this. It's not a channel about support. It's a channel about having an angle about AC Milan. It's a channel about being like trying to figure out what is going on and how, if you don't like what we live in, what can save us? What can bring us back the AC Milan that we used to love? Or just bring hope back? Because I don't have any hope. It's 29th of May, and I don't have any hope towards our next season. And even if they got Guardiola, I would have been suspicious, skeptical. I would say, well, it's not the project we need. It's not what we need. This is just a different picture of the same person. It's just and it's every time it's more phony than the picture that you saw the previous year.
I agree with that. And just sorry to cut you off, because I'm gonna segue into something important, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, right? I'm also very skeptical. Vinny, who's the partner, you know, the guy we do the podcast with, is always glass half full. I take that half glass empty until someone fills up my glass with something more than water, right? Because I need to have sustanza. I need to have proof that things are going to get better, right? So for me, you know, I'm a Maldini fan. I grew up in a generation where he was the poster child, not only of Milan, and whether the other teams like it or not, probably even still today, one of the last poster childs of Serie A. So Maldini taking on his role as technical director, you know, and winning the Scudetto in 2022, I want to know your take about it, right? Because whether we like it or not, and I said it multiple times, for me, that was a magic Scudetto, because our roster wasn't the best at that time. And, you know, I've gone on the record saying we won that Scudetto with 10 players. And I don't care, to be honest with you. We won it. And that's the beauty of sport. But Maldini did have clear ideas of what he wanted to do and ambitions on the technical side, and was very critical of ownership. Do you think that the interview that he gave, which again probably was his demise, was this what got him fired, or there was just something in the air that it was an inevitable divorce?
Hell no. He was already fired. Furlani didn't want him. He couldn't work with him. He couldn't bear having a very like sizable figure in the room with him. Speaking of sizable figures, Furlani isn't one, but he couldn't sack him on the same year of the Scudetto, but he forced, basically he got Jerry Cardinale to do it for him the next year, and that's history, that we know how that went. And what I really hated was that we were on the verge of something. We won something. It was like the it was like the dawning of something important, and we were supposed to take it from there, and we had all the chances to create a cycle of victories, of good players, of, you know, getting better and better. The economy, the finance was great. You know, everything was going in the right direction. But then the ego of the of Furlani had to stop this because they realized that AC Milan was a profitable business. So they changed from the fund that puts you back into, you know, on your feet, to, okay, let's take AC Milan and now let's walk together, let's run together. Except they didn't want to run, and they partnered up with Redbird Capital, which is a fund that had no interest whatsoever in winning, in competing, because it's a liability, because it's success is not something that it's not guaranteed. It's something that you have to work for, and if you want success, you need people who are competent, and they knew they weren't competent, and they had competent people. They sacked them. They didn't want that. That's a project. The project is to be fourth, to get to the UCL, and that's it. And that's it. It's not our project. It's their project. And we have no interest in supporting that project.
Yeah,
I don't see why we should support that project, because it's not going to bring us anything. There's no victories involved. If you see that, it's all downhill. We went from the Scudetto in 3 years. Look where we are now. We're eight. We've been ninth half of the season.
Yeah.
And the only reason why now they went for Tare, which was their last option. It was the least favorite option. To Allegri, which was the second preferred option, because Italiano was the first one. And look at that. They're two completely different trainers. One is a coach that goes for a style of playing that, you know, like Italiano is a giochista, what we call a giochista. And the other one is the oldest expression of football, like one of the last remaining, probably, and the last of the Mohicans of the non-playing football. Yeah. And they're fine with that. That there's no project. When you go from Italiano to Allegri, it's what else should they do to make you understand they don't care?
No,
there's no project behind it. To them, it makes no difference. It makes no difference. Whoever is available. But what is the goal? They want fourth place again. But they're doing an overkill move. They're getting Allegri for the fourth place. That's how incompetent they are. It's an admission of being incompetent. Mm-hmm. It's like if they thought they could have gotten to the fourth place, and that was last year's project, without anybody with any previous business in football. That's what they wanted to do. And they got it all wrong, completely. Now this year, they don't want to get it wrong, but what they don't want to get wrong, they don't want to mess up, is the fourth place. So here we are with Allegri. Here we are with Tare. And they're all second or third or fourth choices. None of them is a first choice, because they have no first choice.
They have no first choice, exactly. Enrico, what about, you talked a lot about, Tare is a sporting director and was at Napoli and now is Milan sporting director. We have Allegri, yes, it's sometimes some people are referring it to, minestra riscaldata. But is this risk management? Like, what are we doing here? Because, I echo what you say. I'll give you some context on the way I looked at it and my angle. We talked about angles, right? And I think it's important. For me, Elliot, quote unquote, saved Milan, right? Because we had Yong Hong Lee and they took over this.
Was Yong Hong Lee a real owner?
We don't even know.
Was he part of the sale to Elliot? Was he part of the whole deal? I'm very skeptical about it.
Exactly. But for me, the way, again, my angle,
I think Yong Hong Lee, to me, it was a middleman.
Was a middleman, exactly. To the to end me, it result.
Was, I mean, I think my vision, I got no proof of that.
Yeah.
Berlusconi sold AC Milan to Redbird. He needed some specialists to do what we know what he wanted to do with all his capitals in funny countries, in
exotic countries, yes.
And he needed some operation to sound kind of credible. And but he sold for $350 to Elliot. And here we are, and that's why Scaroni is there.
Okay.
Because the Berlusconi's family's business is not over yet. There's still much to do. That's why the stadium and the and the whole stadium operation with the destruction of San Siro and the reconstruction of a new San Siro is all about. So it was Yonggang Lee a real sale? I don't know.
I don't know either. So for me, they came and either saved or whatever it was. And I think magically we got this Scudetto in 2022.
It wasn't that magical. I think it was part of a plan. I mean, I think that's what they were doing. They had a plan. They just won it with a year advantage on when they just a year sooner than when it was expected. But then the whole project failed. I mean, the whole project was stopped.
Yeah. Again, so, and Redbird, for whatever it is and for the information, buying this portion off Elliot, buying this club off Elliot. I was just very curious because of the research that I did on, you know, Jerry Cardinale and what he did with the Super Bowl in terms of, like, you know, and his other businesses and how he, I was curious of where this company was going to take Milan on a branding scale. Not a footballing scale, branding scale. And, you know, just relying on what my knowledge is on, you know, North American sports, the businessmen take care of the business and the sportsmen take care of the sport. So I was very shocked at the whole Maldini thing, but I was like, let's give it a chance. Let's give it some sort of chance to prove myself right, which in the end, I think I was completely wrong because we're not holding anybody accountable anymore, Enrico, right? So,
no.
You know, you have Fruilani, you have Ibra, and you have, you know, Moncada as three people who showed no clarity in what this project was and have no project. And, you know, this Tare and Allegri, do you think it's a smokescreen? Do you think it's, let's put these two people in the front firing lane and Fruilani, Ibra, Moncada will continue just going through the motions? Or you think that we have some hope with these two that they will be left alone and be able to work? Because I'm curious to see them work, at least. Has Allegri learned something from his past experience at Juve? Has Tare learned something from Lazio? Do you have hope or you think it's a smokescreen?
Yes and no. First of all,
I love you. I love you. I love you. It's the best. Yes.
Because
and no.
I think that, first of all, it's Furlani is running the show. After January, there was an overrule. All right. Basically, they overtook, Furlani overtook AC Milan. So Elliot overtook on the Redbird completely. In fact,
wasn't that delicious?
So good.
Your bill, ladies.
I got it. No, I got it. Seriously, I insisted first.
Oh, don't be silly.
You don't be silly.
People with the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card prefer to pay because they earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases.
Okay, rock, paper, scissors for it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot!
No! The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. Visit wellsfargo.com/activecash. Terms apply.
You haven't heard of Jerry Cardinale anymore? Yeah, you haven't heard of Ibra anymore? They're ghosts. They're there because they have to be there. Because they, if you read the papers, they're the owners. Yes, yeah, right. Okay, let's pretend they're the owners. Furlani is running the show, but after the shit show of AC Milan 24-25, nobody, not even one single person paid for that. Not even one single person was held accountable for the pain they inflicted on us. Nobody. They were all confirmed, and that it's proof. That is proof when you compare it to what happened to Maldini and Massara, who paid for what? For the Keitelare? They paid for what? For Origi?
Yeah.
What did they pay for exactly? when you compare it to the shit show that these guys put up. So it's obviously a good team for them. They think this is the best team to achieve what they want to achieve. Otherwise, heads would have rolled.
Yeah. Can I just, again, because I want your take on this. And again, I know a little bit about it, so I wanna push in poco di bottoni over here, right?
Yeah, of course.
We know that I'm good at that.
Push the buttons, man.
Yeah. So 24-25, Enrico, right? So I look back at it there, and it was probably one of the hardest years. Let's leave alone the Scaramanza that we had when Berlusconi was ending his reign there, and you know the banter years. I don't even want to go that far, but I'm saying just as a fan, and again sitting a continent away. 24-25, Friulani, Moncada, Ibra, Jerry Cardinale decide that, oh, this is the direction we want to go. But they have no sporting director. They have no project. They're taking, let's be honest, Fonseca was probably their third choice coach. And yet this fund, because the fund of Elliott is a fund, it's a vulture capitalist fund, it's a humongous fund. And I'm not saying that they need to care about AC Milan, but the brand is suffering after this year. What's your opinion on how they started this project in 24-25 from the beginning to the end? Because like you said, we went from Champions League football. Yeah, that's great, but the goal and something that I've repeated over and over, for me, I'm Milanista, I want to win. I don't want to finish fourth. I fucking hate finishing fourth, Enrico.
Yeah.
It drives me mental. I want to win. And to sit at 19 Scudetto, Enrico, with Inter, our cousins from the, blue and black, with 20, and probably not even in a great financial situation, but that important second star, no one thought to say, hey, guys, this is important for not only everybody, regardless of the project that you want, it's important for Milan, for the brand. No one thought that this was important.
You mentioned the brand, and you said you were curious to find out where they were going to take the brand. There you have it. It's maximized at the moment. That's as good as it can be, because it's not going to get any better. So they're stuck. And they're stuck with a business that they can keep going for a couple more years, but that's it. If you don't invest in the football aspect of the business, in the results and the winning, that's it. And it's all gonna collapse again. So I'm pretty sure they'll leave. 2 years, 3 years from now, they leave. It's not their business. It's not what they're meant to do. They're not here to stay. They're here to speculate. They're here to grab with both hands as much as they can. That's what they want to do. And that's what they're doing. That's why we spend over 90 million euro in undisclosed services.
Wow.
Which probably are... they serve the need to repay the interest over the money that they lent, the vendor loan. So basically, they partner up. They hate each other. They're not two funds that love each other. They hate each other. It's a battle of the funds, and it's an ugly one. It's an ugly one, man. I don't think we've seen anything yet.
Wow.
And then there's Scaroni, who's like the Sith, is like the Phantom Menace. Because all he cares about is that damn stadium, but it's not the stadium he cares about. He cares about all the area, he cares about the mall, the hotel. It's like Monopoly, man. It's
yeah.
There's no real interest in results in this type of ownership.
Yeah.
How do you change that? What do they feed on? Money. Well, you don't give them money. No, DAZN, no subscribing to TV, whatever, no stadium. But nobody in 2025 is here to say no to something that they want to have. So they will end up buying the latest jersey. They'll end up going to the stadium. They will use operations like Tare and Allegri, like smoke screens and fans are going to fall for that. So a few days after the biggest protest, but at the same time, latest, like it was so late in time.
Yeah.
Protest, that should have happened in February, not in the final day of the and the final Sunday of the season. Basically today the whole tifoseria, the whole mood is different, and they're hopeful again. And what exactly are you hopeful about? Being fourth? Is that what we are? Is that what they reduced us into, like being happy to get to be fourth? And is Allegri good? Why? And is this a better season because Inter may not win the Champions League? Does it make it better? Does it make our season better in any way?
No.
Is that what we are today? Is this what AC Milan fans are today? Well, the answer is yes. Unfortunately, yes. And we had sliding doors happening to us when Bologna won the Coppa Italia.
Mm-hmm.
If that didn't happen, if we won, then it would have been 1,000 times worse. We just we cannot help helping them.
Yeah.
All this is helping them.
Yeah.
And this is killing us, and we don't even realize. We just we are feeding the enemy. We're just leaving them keep us. We're sharing the same desires. They want fourth place. We want fourth place. And this kills me. It kills me.
Yeah.
We have no memory. We have no ambition. We have nothing. We're sharing their goals. And their goals are not the goals of someone who loves AC Milan. They're the goals of people who fucking hate AC Milan. And they're destroying us, and they're destroying our history and our future. How can we share the same ideals and the same goals? I don't know.
Yeah. Is this, you know, we mentioned Maldini, but there's someone, you know, that I've always liked, and I've loved his outspokenness, and I think he was a fantastic hire for the club. It's Boban, right? So we all know Boban went on Hello Milan Hello. Their YouTube channel did I think it was a fantastic, candid interview, like the truth from whatever he was able to say, so that they don't sue him even more. But, you know, someone like this, like Boban, who comes out and speaks the truth, you know, and again, I've told you off air, never met before we spoke, that I admire your angles. Do I agree with them all? No, but I admire them all because they're well thought out and well spoken.
Thank you, man.
I think Boban was very well spoken. And I also think, you know, he did a great service to a lot of creators. And not because he named you on there, right? Because he did name you. And I think, you know, you should take that as a very big compliment. Because,
a huge one. Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
Because it's very rare that someone, and I'm going to say it, and it might sound a little bit, but of that stature would go to the level of naming someone who's like yourself and speaks the truth, you know. But what did it mean to you that he said, you know, he talked about you, and, you know, and how can we get Maldini to do the same, to speak candidly like he did.
Right? I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it. unfortunately, he doesn't. I'm sure he would love to speak out, but I don't think he wants to at the moment. He has a desire to. I mean, it's like, my God, if only I could talk, all right? But he can't. He's got a role that's different than the Boban one.
Yeah.
But I felt really good. And the reason why I felt good is because he basically validated a year of videos and vision. And basically he said, well, these are people who love AC Milan. They're not haters. They call us haters. They said they think we support Inter or, you know, whatever insult. But I don't care. I really don't care about that. I think logic and thinking over things with a clear mind in a detached way. If you have to analyze AC Milan, you have to be detached. The closer you get, the hotter you get, the warmer you get, the less clear the angle can be, the vision can be. I'm not saying that you have to hate AC Milan, because that would be a warm feeling too.
Yeah.
But you have to be detached. You really have to see what they're doing to us. Yeah. And to see this emotional yo-yo, it's frustrating. Yeah. Because you understand that they will always win, and they don't have to win. You have to do something, and then you start something, and it's finished already. There's a protest, and the protest basically it's so ill-timed and it's so light in a way that it only takes a Tare and an Allegri to
fix it.
Yeah, to fix it. And he said, "What the hell, man? Like, do you really think they're doing us like harm or not?" What's your opinion? Because if you do think that, then there's no Guardiola that can change my vision. No. There's no Scudetto. There's no Champions League. They can win anything. They can do a triplete. I wouldn't care. They're evil. They have to go. They don't represent me. They represent themselves. Their vision, thank God, doesn't help them win. Because they're not going to win much with that type of vision. But it's frustrating to see what the average AC Milan fan turned into. It's depressing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not going to change.
You shouldn't have to change. And that's the beauty of the content creating, is because you don't have to change, right? You're in control of what you think. It's interesting, you know. Like you said, right? Will, you know, and before this, not privy to information again. I'm disappointed in myself. I fell in a trap. I felt that, you know, that because of my love for Milan, I felt I got my emotions. I was telling the guys the other night, you know, Fabio and Gio from Coast to Coast, who do the show with us. You know, they went on Wednesday and they told me, name me the five worst moments for AC Milan this year. And you know what, Enrico, I had no problem coming up with 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 moments. I had trouble coming up with good moments.
And, yeah, exactly.
And one of my five moments, Enrico, was I'm disappointed in myself, because I'm usually very even keel, but the emotion and my love for Milan distracted me a bit this year. Distracted me from, you know, my love for the actual sport of soccer. And, you know, it took me a while. I almost felt like a curva. I was too late in my being critical. And
but it's okay. That's what they rely on.
Exactly. They rely on that. But I felt the same way, Enrico.
Wasn't that delicious?
So good.
Your bill, ladies?
I got it.
No, I got it.
Seriously, I insist. Oh, don't be silly.
People with the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card prefer to pay because they earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases.
Okay, rock, paper, scissors for it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
No! The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. Visit wellsfargo.com/activecash. Terms apply.
when Yong Hong Lee bought the club, and I felt like I fell in the same trap again. How many more traps do we have to fall into?
I know, man. It's like, okay, why don't we know better? But we don't know better. It's society, man. It's not us. It's not being AC Milan fans. It's not that we're special or completely not special, but it's what we are. We think of ourselves and as individuals, not as communities. And this is what happens: is disaggregation. It's basically everyone has got a theory. Every single one of us. You know, you got the Maldini lover, then you got the Pioli lover, then you got the widows of. There will be people that after Redbird will be a long gone memory, and a bad one for sure. That will miss him. There'll be widows. There'll be there'll be Furlani widows.
Yeah.
There'll be Elliot widows. We don't understand history. We don't understand history. We can't read it. So we don't learn from mistakes. We happy to see Allegri again. I still have the cork of the champagne bottle that I opened when he first went away. And now it's back again. And people, they don't even remember. They think it's a great move. And I say, okay, it's a great move for what? Do you really think we're gonna win the league? Are you serious? You really think we're gonna compete for the league? Yeah. You're gonna compete for what they want to compete? Fourth place, third place, maybe. I'm not sure about that because Napoli and Inter and Juventus, they're not gonna give the first three positions away that easily. Not to Allegri.
Not to Allegri. That's 100% sure, especially, you know, creating this.
We don't have a team yet.
We don't have a team yet. That's the scary part.
What if they sell Reinders? Yeah. They said, we don't need to sell him. What if they sell him? You know what they're going to say? He wanted to go.
Exactly.
Yeah, but he wanted to leave. How can you say no to that offer?
I think that was their one trick pony with the Tonali sale. I don't think they can pull that over our eyes again. We understand that.
Man, when Kalulu went away?
Yes, yes.
He didn't want to leave.
No.
He wanted to stay. He was upset. He said, well, I want to stay. I don't want to go. I said, well, just leave. We're selling you. They sell whoever, whenever, at any price. We sold our youth for nothing.
Yeah.
With 50% on future resale.
Yeah.
That's how they do business. That's how they build the future. I mean, how clearer does it have to be to make people understand? That's what surprises me.
Well, now what's cool, Enrico, about this, and you know, it's something that I think, like, you know, traditionally Milan have never been great with the youth, and rightfully so, because we had an owner who was in it for the right reasons and invested in, and he loved the club. Right now, I don't think we have an owner that loves the club as much as we do. And I was willing to, you know, you have to sacrifice the youth for the glory of Milan, you know, and what we passed in the 90s and so on and so forth. But now here, you don't have to sacrifice the youth. And it was nothing more evident than them sacrificing the youth with the shit show that was Milan.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would love your experience, because if heads don't roll for that, like,
that is the emblem, man. That's medal. That's the
emblem. Yeah.
That's the medal on their jackets. That's what they do. They create something because it generates more income, because it evaluates the value of the club. And then they treat it like that because they're incompetent. Okay, I don't want to use bad words, but they're just incompetent. And they have no interest. They don't even know the rules. Look what they did with Camarda.
Yeah.
That's another emblem. That's another badge. What they did, that this guy, Ibra, said, well, he's going to be under my wing. All right? And we all thought, okay, fine. Well, this guy's going to explode. This guy's going to go, you know, he's going to be our next striker for the future. What happened to him? He never played, he hardly ever played in the first team, in the A team, and with team A, and he never played in Milan Futuro, and ended up not having the amount of minutes that could grant him the playouts, and we receded. Okay, that's how well they structure things. That's how well they plan things. That's how well they know football. That's why they wanted Kirovsky. You sack someone like Abate for a friend that wanted you at Galaxy, then who cares? That's Galaxy's away from our football, from Serie A or from Serie C. What does he know about that type of football that's so hard? He knows nothing. In fact, he knew nothing.
No.
And that's exactly what happened. Another shit show. That's what they do, man. That's what they do. And there's no good side. It's not like Elliot is the merry side of things, and then you got Redbird, which is the bad side. No, there's no Jedi, there's no Siths. It's all Siths.
Wow.
It's just evil, man. It's just evil. And there's no other club in Serie A for sure, but I think among the like Champions League, like all the biggest clubs in Europe, to have a situation like this, an ownership like this, even Man U doesn't have anything close to what we have. This is the worst that could possibly happen to us. And who wanted this? Well, Elliot for sure, because they had the chance to sell the whole thing to Invescorp. And Furlani came with the Redbird idea, which Paul and Gordon Singer went for, and they said yes. And they did in 2 days. In 1 day, they sold to Redbird. That's how they do business. They thought and they valued this, and they said, well, this is good business, but it's business. This is football. It's not business. And if it has to be business, it has to be football related. It has to do with performing, with winning, with the fans. Jerry Cardinale in 2020, he knew that in Europe, fans own the clubs. Fans own clubs. He knew that. But he wanted to subvert that. And despite knowing that, he went for it. And now he's there. He's a ghost. We didn't know. We don't even know what his business is. For sure, he didn't. He never had the money for the stadium, for San Donato. He has no interest in San Siro. Only Scaroni has interest in San Siro, and that's it. This is what we are. It's three people running the show. It's three entities running the show. Elliot, Redbird, and Scaroni. And the scariest one is fucking Scaroni. He's the scariest one of all. Because it's politics. It's different. It's what you don't want to have. It's what you don't want to mess around when you're in a club.
And you say, Scaroni is the scariest one. Can you elaborate on why? Is it because his interests are really completely outside of football? Like you said, the area around San Siro needs to be redeveloped, and he would profit from that. What's the ideology behind? Because for me, the way I see it, I didn't even really see the Scaroni angle. For me, it was more the Redbird and the Elliot that was scary, because it's two funds that, like you said, are kind of like fighting each other. And I thought that, you know, Elliot is happy with Redbird just like skating along, because they collect interest over interest over interest. Now you're injecting a third scary person, and I don't know too much about him, to be very honest. Besides the fact that he was closely tied to Berlusconi.
Yeah, he was.
And the family. So
he's always been like some kind of a middleman, but without being the middleman, he was a front man or a middleman playing the front man. So he did a lot of dirty business. He was sentenced And always dealt, it has always been in between.
Wasn't that delicious?
So good.
Your bill, ladies?
I got it. No, I got it.
Seriously, I insist.
Don't be silly.
You don't be silly.
People with the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card prefer to pay because they earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases.
Okay, rock, paper, scissors for it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot!
No! The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. Visit wellsfargo.com/activecash. Terms apply.
Politics and business. And so basically, what he's doing is that he's got this. He doesn't do business for himself. He does business also for himself, but this is not for himself. The San Siro plan is not for him. And he wants that so badly that, and basically he made the two funds play, dance to his own beat. Because they wanted San Donato, and San Donato was a sure thing. It was going to happen, except Redbird didn't have the money for that. So we are under investigation, right? There's a that stalled the sale to a new partner, either minority or majority partner, doesn't matter. But Cardinale was about to sell his debt to someone else, probably in the Arabian area. And then the investigation came and stopped the whole thing. Who had an interest in stopping the sale? Because that would have made San Donato happen, 100%. He would have had the money to build the stadium, and he would have had the money to continue for, you know, a few more years. And basically, they couldn't sell because now it's under investigation, so we don't know. It still has to be... they have to certify if Redbird is the real owner or not, you know, so nobody would buy. I don't buy if I don't know. Okay, I buy from Redbird, but yeah. Who is him? Who's he?
Who's that guy standing in the corner? Yeah. Why is he standing in the corner?
Why is he there? Why does he want my money? All right, so there has to be clarity over this. So I really think that Elliot and Redbird, they found out at their own expenses who Scaroni really was and really represented, because he had no reason being there. There was no reason for him to be there. We changed, like, he's been there since 2018, same as Furlani.
Yep.
He was in Blue Sky, same as Furlani. Man, they're just... It's a bigger plan than what we think.
Wow.
And if San Siro doesn't happen, we get rid of Scaroni forever. We can say goodbye, wave goodbye, go home. Didn't happen. Sorry about that. Now leave. And if we do that, then the two funds, they can fight each other and eat each other over our corpse. That's for sure. That's a fact. But
yeah.
That's what can happen, because it's either Redbird selling Elliot's part, and they're entitled to do so because they have debt. So if I find someone that buys my debt, then fine, you know, you go home, Elliot. Goodbye. I can run the show from now on. Or Elliot that buys out the Redbird. Do you think they want to be bought out? I don't think so. So we'll see. I think we're going to see sparkles. We're going to see something
fireworks,
ugly.
Fireworks.
Yeah.
Fireworks.
Something ugly. So we'll see what happens. But it's not good. What we're dealing with, we're not talking about football. There's not even 1 minute of football over this discussion.
Yeah.
That's a sad fact. Sad.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say exactly the same thing. This is what's sad. We've gone through a tough season, And like you said before, you know, we're looking for some hope. But the catalyst of this conversation is everything outside of football, which, to be very honest with you, me and you probably really don't care about, except for the fact that it affects our beloved Milan. Enrico, I know that it's an hour. I wish I would do this for a living and be able to stay with you for 3 hours.
Oh, stay whenever, man. Whenever. I'm here. I'm not running away. It's not a one-stop thing.
I think
that
this is going to, you know, your channel is Italian. I hope for everybody's benefit in English that you put on that great radio voice and you fix that hair and you do it in English with us at Milan Weekly Podcast, because your insight was fantastic. You know, the comments are going crazy. I didn't have enough time to even press the comments, but amazing stuff, Enrico. For those who don't know, tell us, give them a little bit of a shout out of your own channel, your socials, where they can follow you, where they need to follow you.
Thank you, man. But I don't have socials because I hate socials. They kill brain cells. So I only have my YouTube channel and my Twitch channel. You can find me by my name. It's as simple as that. And I'm not here for publicity. I'm here to talk with you, so I don't really care.
Absolutely.
It's fine, but thank you for the assist. But
I wanted to give you an assist, and you didn't.
I'm very happy to be here. So it's cool, man.
It's amazing stuff, guys. Thank you so much, Enrico. I hope we can do this again, maybe before the start of the season. Or
sure,
if you want to enlighten my your followers, your YouTube followers, to my Calabrese and my Italian, I'll be more than happy to come on your show and give you my opinion. But it's been a great pleasure. I thank you again. Guys,
likewise, man. Likewise.
Tune into Enrico and his channel. Presidente in the background. I think you can take us away, guys. Remember, like, subscribe, follow to Milan Weekly Podcast, and we'll keep on bringing you this good-looking gentleman, Enrico, on future episodes to give us a good idea of his angle on Milan, which is a fantastic one. Thank you, everybody, for joining.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Steve.
Forza Milan. Forza Milan.
Forza Milan.